if you need a Bible, we have Bibles up here. Anybody need a Bible? Galatians chapter 3, then it is. Look, as we go to Galatians, remember, this was a letter not to one particular church. It was to a group of churches, a bunch of churches in the southern area of modern-day Turkey. They had this problem. They had a problem with legalism and the law. People were coming in and telling them they couldn't be saved unless they followed the law. And Paul is writing them this letter to refute that. He's saying, hey, look, I'm an apostle. I'm one that was sent to you by Jesus himself. He gave me the message of this gospel of grace. And he told them, he said, hey, look, I even shared this with the apostles in Jerusalem. I went down there. We had people that came to Antioch, and they said the same thing about law and legalism. And I went down and I talked to the apostles in Jerusalem, to Peter, James, and John, and they welcomed me with the right hand of fellowship. They accepted the message that I was preaching. Now he goes on to tell these Galatians, the last part of chapter 2, was that, look, no one can be justified by following the law. If it were possible, and it's not, then Christ died in vain. Now, chapter 3, you ready? Oh, foolish Galatians. This word, foolish, I got to tell you. Oh, you airheads. That's what it means, empty-headed. You bunch of airheads. He loved them. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Paul is shocked and amazed. He said they were acting foolish, like someone had bewitched them, like someone put a spell on. You are just, this is crazy. He had been there. He had taught them the gospel. He had clearly shown them Christ crucified, that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, that he came from heaven, that he went to the cross, that he took our sins upon himself on the cross, paying our debt, paying for our punishment that we deserved for being rebellious to Almighty God. He taught them that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, resurrected on the third day. And now, somehow, some way, beyond Paul's comprehension, how could this possibly be? You're turning to the law to be justified and not looking to the completed work of Jesus crucified on the cross. That's the only way you can be justified by God, is by the blood of Jesus, not by your own works. And Paul, this is incomprehensible to him. He says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit by something you did? Or by hearing of faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. There's another time Paul was in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. He saw some brothers there, some disciples, and something didn't seem quite right to him. And he said, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? And they said, hey, we don't even know if there is a Spirit. It's interesting, this question, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And I think it's as important today to this church as it was to the churches in Galatia. And not just this church, but to all churches. It is a very, very important question. There is much controversy regarding the Holy Spirit in the church. It seems like there are some, like those in Ephesus, who don't really even know about the Holy Spirit because it's not discussed. The reason I believe it's not discussed in some churches is because of what people have witnessed as part of the Christian carnival sideshow, where anything goes and it's blamed on the Holy Spirit. You can bark like a dog, growl like a lion, and give credit to the Holy Spirit. Or I prefer to say blame the Holy Spirit, because I don't think that represents Christ. I don't think it points to Christ. I don't think it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but rather the ministry of the flesh. And it pushes people away from Christ rather than towards Christ. And because of that, churches have gotten rid of the Holy Spirit. And if we get rid of the Holy Spirit, we have no church, church. So, to make sure that at least you have a basic understanding of the Holy Spirit, we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning speaking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, okay? So if you will, turn to John 14. First of all, let me go ahead and turn to John 14 while you turn. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is a person, not just a force. He is a, this is not Star Wars, Obi-Wan, okay? I feel a disturbance in the force. The Holy Spirit is a person, a real personality. You can grieve him. You can resist him. He's a real person, the third person of the Trinity. Well, I don't understand. Okay, I know. It's kind of hard to wrap our human mind around this. He is fully God and one with the Father and the Son. Now, Jesus spoke of him a lot. And we're going to take a look at some of what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, okay? John 14, jump down to verse 16. There, Jesus says to the disciples, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Does anybody need some help? Lars, you need a lot of help, okay? Yeah, I mean, we all need help, don't we? Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you, that's live with you, dwell with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit is a helper for us. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need help. We cannot live this Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit. It is imperative. He is the Spirit of truth. Do you ever struggle with, what's the truth about this matter? Let me put it this way. You're supposed to vote here coming up. 2012, they're already campaigning. John has the flag on his car. Are you running for office, brother? What's going on? Yes, I know. I heard about these people. Some people TP houses, but there's other people that go and they put festive holiday decorations on people's lawns. Watch out for them, okay? Pink Panther, stealth. So, we need to discern truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Do you struggle sometimes? I need to know the truth about this matter. Where am I going to get that from? I can't figure it out. I need the Helper. I need the Holy Spirit. He will be with us. He's with us in the world. He's here with us in the world. He's here right now with us in this fellowship. And for believers, He's in you. You are possessed. Okay? If you're acting like you're possessed, that's probably He's with us here in the room, but He's not in you. You got something else in you that got to get out of there. Get Him in. And if He's in you, there isn't any room for that other stuff. Okay, so you don't have to worry about that. He comes and He makes His residence inside of us. We have been bought with a price. Our life is not our own. Okay? So He is in you. Now, we've seen a couple of words here that I've got to get implanted in your brain, okay? Write them down, implant them in your brain. You're going to need these words for later. Two Greek words we've used here. One, He dwells with you, and He will be in you. The two words are with and in, okay? The Greek word for with is para, P-A-R-A. It's the same as in Spanish. Is that correct? Para? P-A-R-A? Okay. It's with. The other Greek word is in. It's pronounced N, E-N. Okay? You got those two words? He's with us. He's with us. He's in us. Okay, very good. We'll come back to these, okay? Now, drop down. You're in John 14, right? Look at verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit, His ministry in the life of the believer is to teach you. To teach you. While we're going through this, the Holy Spirit is teaching you. Faith comes by hearing from the Word of God. You're listening, you're believing, and the Holy Spirit is teaching you. And then He will bring to remembrance. I love this. All things that I said to you. Have you ever had this experience? You're talking to somebody about Jesus. You're ministering to somebody. They're going through a problem. And suddenly, this verse comes out of nowhere. You're familiar with it, but you really don't know it, and out it comes. Has that ever happened? How did that happen? Oh, it's the Force, Obi-Wan. No, it's not. It's the Holy Spirit within you bringing to remembrance those things that you have heard about Jesus, about life and godliness. Okay. Where am I? I don't know. Verse 20, let's go to chapter 15. This is hard for me when I'm going through so many chapters. We did John 14, now we're to John 15. Okay, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, He testifies of Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. That eternal life only comes through Him. What you are looking at when people say this is the Holy Spirit, is it pointing to the cross? Is it pointing to the resurrection? Is it pointing to the blood of Jesus? If it's not, it's just the flesh. It's just a circus sideshow to pump people up. That's all it is. And it's very effective. The ministry of the Holy Spirit will always point people to Christ. Now, if it scares you and you run away from Christ, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. If it points you towards Christ, though, and you get scared and you run away, well, that is. Go to John chapter 16 now. John 16, verse 7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Hallelujah. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if you are a believer in Christ, you have experienced this ministry. The Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin, made you aware that what you were doing was sin before God, that you were a sinner without any hope in this world. You couldn't save yourself. But there was a righteous judge, a righteous king who came and died for you. The Holy Spirit convicted you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Either grab a hold of him or you're going to go to hell. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's his job. Oh, I'm sorry, I said hell in church and said you're going to go to hell in church. Oh. If you're convicted by it, it's not by me, it's by the Spirit. He's doing his job. You couldn't come to Christ without the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the world, convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment. Hallelujah. You have experienced the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, turn to John chapter 20, if you will. In John 20, it's the day, it's the evening of the resurrection. And Jesus, he comes, he meets with the apostles. John 20, verse 19. John 20, 19. Then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad because they knew he was alive. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The disciples saw that Jesus was raised from the dead, and they believed that he was raised from the dead. Because they saw it, right? They saw, they believed, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and what do you think they did? They believed, and they received. So, did they receive the Spirit by works of the law or by faith? By faith. That's the same way we received the Holy Spirit. We come to this point that we have, the Holy Spirit has done his work. He convicted us of sin and righteousness and judgment. We look to Jesus. We say, "Yes, You died for my sins. I need you to forgive me of my sin and to come into my life. And we believe in him that he died in our place. He died for our sins. He was buried and resurrected. So we see, we believe, and then we receive the Holy Spirit. As we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. Jesus said he'll be with you. He's with you in the world. He's convicting you. You believe in Jesus and you receive the Holy Spirit. And then he moves from being just out there to being in you. You good? So far, so good. Now, before we go on, there's one other issue that we need to talk about. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't get weird, okay? Because of the circus sideshows, people seem to get scared about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, whole denominations no longer speak of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we all received the Holy Spirit when we believed. Good enough. Let's not talk about him anymore. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. In Acts 1, in verse 3, it tells us that it's 40 days after Jesus was resurrected. In Acts 1:4, he meets with his disciples. They're all gathered with him. And being, Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Look at verse 5. Jesus tells them, "John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." I thought they received the Holy Spirit in the upper room 40 days earlier. Did they? Did they? Yes. How do we know? Because it said so. But now he says you will receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Is that correct? So is he talking about the same thing or two different things? It seems to me he's talking about two different things here. Now, you can look through your denominational lenses. No, it's the same thing. It's hard to come to that. Either they were baptized in the Spirit or they weren't. I think they weren't. And he tells them, look at verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Samaria and to the end of the earth." The baptism of the Holy Spirit infuses the believer with power. There is a purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that purpose is power so that you can be a witness of Jesus Christ. That's it. So that you can be a witness of Jesus Christ. Listen, it is my personal opinion So you can disregard this if you want. That the church is weak because it is not infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have homosexuality in the church. That's why we have divorce in the church. That's why we have sin in the church. Is because the church is not infused with power from the Holy Spirit, but we have people living in the flesh trying to live out this Christian life, and it is impossible. And you might have been trying to do it. I do it. I try all the time. It is impossible. Check this out. Paul says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. A new preposition, upon. We had with, which was. We had in, which was, and now we have upon, which is the Greek word epi, a different preposition. The Holy Spirit coming upon you. You being immersed, baptized in the Holy Spirit to receive power so that you can be a witness of Jesus Christ. Good grief. Reggie, when you go to the store, you can be a witness of Jesus Christ. Over there at work, you can be a witness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you have power from the Holy Spirit to live your life in such a way that you point people to the cross and to Jesus. So how do we get this? Because I need power in my life. Yeah, I found out yesterday, I need power here. I'm not doing this again. And this morning, I need power here in my life. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Verse 9. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We ask! We ask and we believe. We're asking, Jesus said, anything you ask according to my name, you will have. You're asking according to God's will. God wants you to be infused with power. Look, you come to a point, if you don't know this, you're going to come to a point where you cannot deal with this any longer. You cannot take it any longer. I'm not doing what the Lord wants me to do. I know He wants so much more for me in my life. This Christian life, it's supposed to be a life full of joy. Why don't I have joy? Do you have the Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Spirit? Are you seeking Him? Are you going back to the font of living water? Are you drinking from what He has for you? Or are you just trying to tough? I'm just going to suck it up and tough. That's what I tough it out. Till I give up and I wave the flag. Lord, help me. I need your Spirit. I can't do this on my own. Not to think that we are sufficient in our own selves, but our sufficiency comes from the Lord. We need His power, His strength to live out this Christian life. Go back to Galatians. See, we're studying in Galatians today. You thought we were in John. We're in Galatians chapter 3. In verse 3, Paul asks this question, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Do you remember how you started this journey? I started in brokenness and tears. I started in weakness. I started understanding, I can't do this. Oh, forgive me, I need you. And was I foolish? Oh, I was. Having begun in the Spirit, then I start looking at my own sufficiency. I'm a veteran. I've fought these battles. I can do this. Are you so foolish? And if you start thinking that, the Lord will let you go and see how foolish you actually are. Let you fall on your face, scrape up your knee, bloody your nose, until you come to that point of, now I'm down here on the ground, I might as well just stay here on my face and cry out to you. Let you pick me up and not try to get up and tough this out on my own. So, are you so foolish? I think most of the church is, to be honest with you. It's a sad commentary on the state of the church. Having begun in the Spirit, man, movements within the church, great movements, the Lutheran Church. Wow. That was a great movement of the Spirit. The Methodist Church. Wow. Man, they have their flag with the fire, the flame. What was that? That was a Spirit of God burning brightly. What happened? They have a bunch of secular men in their seminaries and in their leadership that no longer believe that the word of that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. They began in the Spirit and now they're being led by the flesh. The Nazarene Church. I went to the Nazarene Church. A lot of godly believers. I know a lot of godly believers in the Methodist Church and the Lutheran Church also, by the way. It's not the people, it's the leadership. Okay? There's nothing wrong with God. He's still the same God. The Nazarene Church, they started with this movement in Los Angeles called the Azusa Street Revival. People started showing up at this place, asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, walking out changed. Changed radically. It was a movement of the Holy Spirit. And in the Nazarene Church that I was a part of, it wasn't so bad, but there's a lot of legalism in some of them. Ooh, they have the holiness Nazarenes that, you know, we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't go with girls who do, and the girls that we go with, they don't wear makeup and their buns or hair tied back, and, you know, watch out for that gold ring because that's going to tarnish you. It's legalism, having begun in the spirit, now being perfected in the flesh. We need to watch out. Us, brothers and sisters, that we do not move over into that area. What we need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what the rest of the church is going to do today, but I know what we're going to do today. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. We're going to pray for a baptism of the Holy Spirit today because you need it, and I need it. We need it. We cannot go on without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need this. Now, yes, you might be from a tradition that we don't speak about this, we don't do this. I'm getting kind of scared here now. Is this where we're going to start barking? We're not going to start barking. Okay? But what if I pray, start praising God in tongues? Praise the God, praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for it. What if I don't speak in tongues? Praise the Lord for it. What if I start prophesying? I pray to God y'all do, Paul said. Look, the Holy Spirit knows what you need. I'm afraid of tongues. Well, look, he's not going to give you, you ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a snake. Do you get this? Look, you don't have to be afraid to say, Father, I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. What, he's going to give you something bad? I think that's from the devil. That's ridiculous. Either we believe the word of God, the words of Jesus, or we don't. If we believe it, let's receive it. If you don't, you're in trouble. Yeah, look, you either got to take the whole thing in context or don't take it. But you can't cut and paste. You can't say, I'm going to take this because I like it. I'm going to get rid of this because I don't. It doesn't work that way. So, how will I know if I've received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit? People have asked me that. Will I feel different? You might. You might get all tingly. You might feel really good. You might not. Look, if it was up to me, I'd say you all feel really good, okay? I've prayed with people to receive the Holy Spirit, okay? The baptism of the Spirit. And I remember two very memorable times. One was a lady that very timid, afraid of her own shadow, and prayed that she would receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. Got done. I don't feel any different. Okay. Did you receive? Yes. How do you know? Because the Lord told me to ask and to believe, and I did. She went to the hospital the next day, witnessed to people in the waiting room about Jesus Christ. Wow, that almost sounds like she had a gift of the Holy Spirit, pointing people, testifying of Christ. Another young man came to the church, got saved, asked, hey, I don't know what this is, but would you pray for this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to receive? Oh, yeah. Pray. You feel any different? No. How many of you remember Brandon Helen? It was Brandon Helen. He was up here leading worship for us for a while. Loving the Lord. His life changed. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for, is to change your life, to give you power to be a witness of Jesus Christ. If you speak in tongues, hallelujah! If you don't, hallelujah! You trust the Lord for those gifts that He wants to impart to you, to bring power into your life. Don't worry about what about Him. That's what Peter said about John. Oh, Lord, what about him? He said, don't worry about him. You follow me. Don't worry about other people, what they're doing, what the Lord's doing with them. You worry about you. You make sure that you have received power because the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay? Y'all in? You can stand up, sit down, raise your hand, bow your head. You do what you want. I'm praying. Father, we come. And Lord God, we thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for the truth in your word. Lord, we just come today, Lord, please forgive us of our sins, first of all, Lord. We have sinned in this area of not relying upon you and instead being foolish and relying on ourselves. So, Lord, please forgive us. We know that you love us, that you're not condemning us, convicting us, anything like that. You're just showing us what you have for us here. We thank you for this gift that you've given us. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming. We thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to us. Lord, you see how much help that we need. And Lord, we ask that you would continue. You've begun this good work in us, and we began in the Spirit, and we know that you are faithful to complete this. And so right now, Lord, believing in your word, believing in you, believing in your promise, that if we would just ask, seek, and knock, that you would give the Holy Spirit to us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would baptize us afresh, anew, in your Spirit. In your name, Jesus, we pray. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. We pray that you impart gifts upon your church and that they would be empowered to use the gifts that you have given them to bring glory and honor to you, to point to you and to testify of you. In your name, Jesus, amen. Did you receive? You feel better. Hallelujah. Me too. I feel all, but I just get that way. I dig it. You know? Yeah. Did you receive? How do you know you received? Because we asked. Not because I feel better, even though I dig that, but because I asked in faith. So let me ask. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Is that a great question? Whoa, Paul, let's go Galatians chapter 3, verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Oh. The Galatians, they suffered by being Christians. Listen. There were Jewish Galatians that came to Christ. Well, the Orthodox Jews, they said, oh, this is heresy. And they shunned them. They kicked them out of the synagogue. They wouldn't have anything to do with these heretics saying Jesus was the Messiah. And then the Gentiles, you have to understand, they lived in this pagan society, pantheistic. All these different gods that they lived in. And everyone worshipped all these different... Who's the God that you sacrifice to? And well, there's only one God. What? You're out of your mind, dude. Only one God. And so they thought the Christians were wackadoo. Especially to worship a dead Jewish Messiah. They were the brunt of jokes. They suffered many things. But though they suffered many things, they were enlightened by the Spirit. They tasted the heavenly gift of salvation. They received the Word of God with gladness. Well, did you suffer so many things in vain? Well, no, look at what we received. Unless you didn't receive it in faith. Then you're just suffering persecution for no reason at all. If you're going back to the law. And he brings Abraham, the father of the faith, into this. He says in verse 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him, accounted to him for righteousness. I love this verse. Comes from Genesis 15, chapter 6. This verse exploded in my life. You ever have a verse that you read and it just explodes and it takes on just this entire life? Because the Word of God is living and active, you know? And the verse comes alive and you're applying it in your life. It came from Abraham. He was 85 years old and he was lamenting because he didn't have a son. God said, hey, look at the stars in the heaven. Count them if you can. He said, so will your descendants be more than the stars of heaven. And it says Abraham didn't have a son at that point. It says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Genesis 15, 6. For me, when I came to Christ, hey, when I came to Christ, believe this or not, I didn't get all cleaned up before I surrendered to Jesus. I was still a mess with all my baggage. I came to him in faith, not cleaning myself up first. He does the cleaning up, okay? We don't do it. And it's got to be by the Spirit that he cleans us up, not by the law. And I came, and one of my habits, and this isn't sin, by the way, okay? Unless you're a Nazarene or a Baptist, okay? I smoked. Yeah, terrible. Smoking will not send you to hell. It might get you to heaven quicker. It may be a painful trip for you that you don't want to take, but it's not going to send you to hell, okay? But I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't start smoking because I said that, okay? Pastor Steve said it's okay to smoke. I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and woe unto that man that destroys this temple. In context, let me put it in context for you, okay? It's talking about sexual immorality, okay? But there's lots of things that we can do to destroy this temple. Lots of things that we can do. And so I was reading the Bible and I was smoking. And it was like, hey, Lord, what about this? And I didn't hear anything from him. So, all right. You know, it's good. The next morning, I was on my way to work, and I pulled up at the light right there at Maple Grove and Overland. And over there on the northeast corner was the Circle K. And I just finished smoking my last cigarette. Oh, I got to pull in over at the Circle K and get some smokes before I go to work, right? Look, I had smoked for 26 years. I was an addict. Okay? Addicted. I could quit smoking. I had done it 100 times. Maybe a million. I don't know. It was easy to quit. It's really easy to start up again, too. And I was sitting there at this light, and the Lord spoke to me clearly. And he said, you don't have to smoke anymore if you don't want to. Look, it wasn't, oh, you smoker, you gotta stop that filth. It wasn't any of that, okay? It wasn't condemnation, it was an invitation. You don't have to if you don't want to. What do you want to do? Well, I freaked out. Oh, Lord, is that you? Am I hearing from you? Yeah, it makes my hair on my arm, you know, Holy Spirit shivers and quivers and all. So I said, okay, I think that's you. And then this verse, Genesis 15, 6, I'll bring all things to remembrance. Abraham believed God and he accounted it to him as righteousness. Steve believed God and he accounted it for righteousness. I hung on to this. We're walking, a month later, we're walking at this ice festival Payette Lake in Idaho. And I'm walking down the sidewalk and there's people smoking in front of me a month later. Look, a month later, you still dig that toasty aroma, okay? Now it's the stench of death to me, but then it was a toasty aroma, okay? Oh, and I'm smelling it, and I'm wanting to smoke because I'm an addict. You understand? I'm an addict. And so I'm walking, and I say, Steve believed God and accounted it to him as righteousness. And she says, what? And I kept repeating this. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I heard the word. It was the word of faith. God set me free from that addiction by the word of faith. He set some of y'all free from other addictions by the word of faith, by simply believing him and receiving what it is that he says is true. Now, verse 7, therefore, there's a conclusion here. Know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. You're not a Jew because... You're not a son of Abraham because you're a Jew. You're a son of Abraham because of faith. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. That's Genesis 12:3. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. We've been studying Isaiah on Wednesday nights. Listen, you go and get some Bible software, go to BibleGateway.com or Bible.com and just plug in Gentile. You will find like a dozen scriptures in the book of Isaiah alone that speaks of the Gentiles getting saved by faith. We are grafted in to the root of Abraham. Don't make this mistake. We do not take the place of the Jews. God is not done. That's called replacement theology. It's a big no-no. God is not done with the Jews. They are his chosen people. He has some special things for them. But we are grafted in. By faith, we become children of faith, children of Abraham. You know the song? Father Abraham had many sons, Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right hand. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Left hand. Father Abraham has many sons. Do you know it or not? Right arm, left arm. Yeah, chin up. All right. You become a child of God, a part of the family, by simply believing and receiving. When you do that, the Holy Spirit comes in to you as your seal that you belong to Christ. It's simple. You believe, you receive. You don't get there by following the law, cleaning up your act, then coming. You come. You just come to the Lord and say, I need you. I need your salvation. And He will come into your life. We're going to pray. If you haven't, now's your opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We ask, Lord, that we just thank you for your goodness, your grace. We thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, for redeeming us. We pray, Lord, that if there's any here who haven't received you yet, that they would right now. They'd say, Jesus, please forgive me. Come into my life. And Lord, we know that just in that act of faith that you will do so. We thank you, Lord, for your gift, the Holy Spirit that you've given to us, our seal of redemption. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for the baptism of the Spirit, for power in our lives. Lord, wash us, cleanse us, baptize us, infuse us with your power, and give us purpose to be witnesses of you in this world. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, we'll bless y'all. We'll continue.